Hey, let's talk about same time, same station. First, we will be listening to Easter shows during the next several days and even on Yesterday USA, but we're a little ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about same time, same station. First, you will hear Fibber McGee and Molly from 1942, Family Theater from 1947, The Passion and Death of Christ. You will also be hearing The Greatest Story Ever Told. This is called The Resurrection. And then Gene Autry from 1952. So an interesting little contrast there between two very religious shows and then Gene Autry from 1952. Not that he wasn't doing a program that did have some religious overtones to it because it was Easter. But you don't think of Gene Autry when you think of The Greatest Story Ever Told. Or even for that matter, Family Theater. Wasn't his fault. It's just the way it happens. In any event, all four of those shows on Sunday and a lot more on Yesterday USA beginning last night, actually. And we will continue that throughout Easter. And lots of programming from a variety. We have about, I think, 90 shows that are Easter related. So we hope you enjoy whatever we have to offer because it will be quite a bit between now and the end of Sunday. Walden and John and I back tomorrow after tonight, which is Walden and Patricia. Bob Lyons will join us tomorrow as well, on Saturday. John and I on Sunday with Walden, and then Michael Beale as well. So, good stuff. And we're rapidly approaching May 4 with regard to our old-time radio marathon. And this should be fun. We got lots of good stuff happening, and we hope that you will stay tuned. And if Walden happens to be there, he can fill in. We had a great time at Reps, a really good time. And I hope you heard some of it on Yesterday USA, or for that matter, on Reps Radio Theater. If not, then I'm sorry, but we do have files, and we can play some of them over again as well. Probably will do that at some point on the show, but great weekend. There were seven of us, four of us actually, I think, who appear frequently in this particular room. John, five. John and myself and Brad Snyder and Marilyn Murata and Walden Hughes. Hope I'm not leaving anybody else out. Anyway, good stuff. We enjoy it.
And we're looking forward to next year. Joy is chopped liver, huh?
That's all I have, so we send it on back to Brad Snyder.
Oh, it would help if I hit the switch on my microphone, wouldn't it? Yeah. Thank you, Larry. And yes, we cannot forget Joy. So we had a good time at Reps. You were there for what? Weren't you, Joy?
I was there for everything but Sunday morning.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, that was a good interview Sunday morning, but you could catch the recording, I'm sure. Anyway, Walden, I believe.
Brad.
That was a great Reps. Really enjoyed it.
I'm still trying to catch up on some sleep.
Well, I bet you did. Did you come back Sunday, or did you stick around a little longer?
No, I came home Sunday.
All right.
Been making sure everything's taken care of for Reps, and then starting to work on Spurvac. And so I think we did have our fair share of challenges this year's showcase with the hotel. But, hey, I'm glad we pulled it off.
But it all worked out, actually. I thought everything was really pretty good. You know, three cheers for Stephanie, who definitely put in the extra effort there. And Abby, her daughter, helped out a lot.
She too did. I couldn't have not done it without her help. Basically, it's we had a good time. 18 recreations. I forgot how many interviews. We had three interviews, three presentations. We had a really nice turnout Friday night and Saturday night. That's where most of the people came. And
I think pizza night should be the new tradition.
You like that, huh?
That was good.
Definitely
yeah, it
was
was a good get
successful.
together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, Walden. That'll get me up there next year.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh yeah, I don't know who doesn't. We made it work. We even had our own social area because the hotel couldn't provide a bar area. So you can get a Waco license in Bellevue for $10 a day. And so we did that in order to make sure people who like a little wine or something could have that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because and so I'm often working on grants for the next showcase. I think most likely everybody, it will be late 2025 because staring in front of me is Spurvac, the Spurvac 50th anniversary, which will be the first part of the year, either January or March. And
well, now there's a Spurvac this fall, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And then they'll have an anniversary when? In early in 25?
I think they'll have those early. It could be in person early in 2025. So
when is Spurvac this fall? Is it going to be in October? September?
Say again, I'm sorry.
When will Spurvac be this fall?
Either January or March.
Oh, January. Okay. No, I thought they had a fall gathering.
Yeah, well, they're not planning out. They're full speed ahead on shooting for January.
Okay, that makes sense, because I thought that would be awfully close to do one this fall and then again in the early.
And it looked like
they're just going for the anniversary.
Either going to be Long Beach or Las Vegas, so most likely I'll be going over to Las Vegas in 3 weeks to look at the hotel to see if it's going to work. And, you know, a lot of people really think Vegas is the place to be. I have my doubts, so that's why I'm going to go check it out, get to see if it really makes sense. So with Spurvac being the first part of the year, reps will push it back late 2025. There's several grants opportunity I'll be working on, which the money will hopefully roll in by a year from now, middle of next year, which will make my life so much easier. Because, you know, expenses keep going up, everybody. You know, from hotel room to airline prices to what we need to get done. And it's still amazing that at reps we can do it for almost half the price than anywhere else in the country in terms of hotel costs and things like that. But it's really, and just give you an idea, most places that I look at, I go up to 80 hotels up and down the West Coast, and it's pretty normal that most hotels want a minimum of $40,000 to $50,000 for food alone.
Wow.
That's a lot of money. And that you know, that stares you right in the face when you're trying to make it work for everybody. Because, you know, you don't want to outprice anybody doing this. I think a lot of hotels are looking at corporate accounts rather than social gatherings. So that's a big thing to go through trying to pull this off. So basically my hand will be in Spurvac. So I think it'll either be January, the weekend of Martin Luther King's birthday, January 16th through the 19th, or also March. And then we'll push for reps in the fall 2025. So that's the timeline for next year. What's going on in the radio hobby? Well, some of you may or may not know, Boston Blackie did make their Kickstarter happen the last 36 hours or so, which was pretty amazing. So people who donated to that will get their shows in May, looks like. And Spurvac had made a move. That was what I did 2 weeks before Showcase. It moved Spurvac's entire, almost just most of the transcription from two locations down to near me here in Orange County. And still got to pick up more stuff. And I'm busy boxing, shipping stuff out almost every day. And the next thing is the Frank Brzee archives. Jerry Hendigas has pretty much gone totally blind. He's been the main guy in the hobby since 1968, dubbing the majority of all the old transcriptions. And with his wife, health, and with him pretty much going completely blind, a lot of us are pulling that archive out of his house. Jerry at one time had 500,000 transcriptions. It's a, you know, he was the home of most of the great radio shows around the country. And so I'm working on that part, trying to get that moved. Because, you know, we don't want to lose that archive. So that's getting moved to guys to have the equipment to dub and transfer that. That alone is getting to be very expensive. Even the cleaning software to clean transcription is getting to be about $5,000. And turntables are $1,500 a pop. And needles are going for almost $100 a needle, and they last about 100 hours. So it's really, and only a few guys are really doing it, not like it used to be. And even the real machines are getting expensive. Just repair real-to-real machines are $3,600 to repair a real-to-real machine now. You know, a high-end machine. And there's still our radio show still on reel-to-reel. So that's quite an investment for those guys to do that. Looking ahead, marathon is May the 4th. I haven't circled back to see if Keith Scott is on board with us for May the 4th. I bet he will be. He just got back from doing show from a cruise. For people who may or may not know, Keith Scott is sort of the Rich Little of old-time radio in terms of Australia. And he's a big radio fan, big radio historian. And we're thinking about having him and Joe Webb together here, Radio Out of Path, to talk about suspense. And it's my plan to bring Keith Scott over from Australia for the next Rep Showcase.
Really?
Already, yeah. Sean Doherty's already donated the mileage to cover that from Australia. So that's a nice gift, because Keith is a legendary voice artist. He already told me one program he'll do for Reps. It's the top 50 voices of old-time radio. It's like a one-man show for us. That's one of the things he wants to present. So he's a terrific impressionist.
Larry presented an interview with him not too long ago. And, it was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
So that would be fantastic.
Yeah, he's a cartoon historian, radio historian. He flies out from Australia to come look at libraries, look up histories of different radio shows, to work on logs and obscure voice artists. And he's just John Laurie's known him since the 70s. And so thanks to Sean Doherty, we'll bring him over from Australia for the NetRep Showcase. What else can I mention that? On Monday, I don't know if I can tip it yet, but it looked like Yesterday USA will be adding a very major affiliate to the network. So we're waiting to make sure all the dots are covered and the I's are crossed and all that stuff. So if it goes right, you'll be hearing Yesterday USA adding a really major affiliate about could be about an additional 39,000 listening hours to the station. So,
wow. Hopefully, that's no April Fools.
Say goodbye. I'm sorry.
I said that's April 1st, so we hope that's no April Fools.
That's true. So, Larry's working with people behind the scene to make sure that's going to work for April 1st. So, that is that. If you saw Reps, Bill Ratner, who played Abraham Lincoln, is scheduled to be our special guest on Yesterday USA, Sunday, April the 7th. Bill is a top-notch voice actor in L.A., G.I. Joes and places like that. He also does voice drops for TV and radio stations on a daily basis, and I was talking to him about that. He has a portable studio that he takes with him. So he did it at Reps, and he'll do it at home. But every day, he's giving liner notes from radio and TV stations around the country. And he has to record the announcement for them and send them back to track every single morning. And so that's a pretty nice gig for him. But he does it for different TV stations and radio stations around the country. His uncle worked on the Isle of Lucy TV show. And so I thought he did a really nice job for Reps. He had a good time. Linda Behrman was his manager. Linda, you might have seen Linda last year at Reps. She's a voice coach, voice manager. And Bill was one of her clients, so that's how we got Bill. And so Larry suggested that we should talk to him in April, and so we're doing it April the 7th. Jerry Beck will be with us on Yesterday USA Saturday, April the 13th. He is the top animation historian in the country. And so we'll talk about cartoons and voices and things like that. On Saturday, April the 13th. Saturday, April the 20th, Johnny and Helen are going to be hosting with Patricia. And I might be in Las Vegas checking out the hotel that weekend. So I'll know if that's going to happen a week or so. But at least Johnny and Helen will be with us April the 20th. And those are the things I have to mention. So back to you, Brad.
Well, thank you, Walden. That's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know how you keep track of it all. You are a busy guy.
Yeah.
And thank you again. That was a wonderful, wonderful time this last weekend. I know I had a great time. I hope Joy did. I know Marilyn did. She didn't get to watch much basketball, but that's because the OTR was so good. So anyhow... thank you very much.
You bet.
Lots to look forward to in the OTR world. So we still got a few minutes. Let's touch base with who all is here. I know I heard Marsha. I heard Todd Kaufman. Michael is lurking, ready to play his show. You guys unmute. Say our audience and everybody else in the room. Or we can just listen to me ramble.
I also have to say that I had an absolutely wonderful time at Reps Convention. And the last night, which was Sunday night, I ended up... what?
Saturday night.
I sat at a table with all of these people I admired, and we all had a wonderful time. We sat at that table after dinner for about an hour and a half. That left a good feeling.
Well, good.
That's wonderful.
Because I know you made your return at the last Reps, and it was you got a nice warm reception. So
well, I'm glad you guys had a good time. Cause I went straight to bed. I was tired.
Yeah, I did too. I had a bad cold. pulled off in, and I appreciate
Well, you know, I can't imagine people not getting a good reception up there. I would think everybody would have a wonderful reception.
It was
but, you know, I was thinking about something. I use basically one credit card all the time, except for the Costco card, which is different. But it's a Southwest Airlines Rapid Rewards card. And because whatever I charge goes on that card, and I end up getting points, and I can travel all over the place. It now goes to Hawaii. I don't know if it goes to Alaska, but it goes anywhere in the United States. And it's about, like, when I went to Texas in October, it was 20,000 points. So that's a round trip. And I had something like 300,000. So I'm always giving them away, and I never quite catch up. And I'm getting old, so I'm going to leave them to somebody when I die. But in the meantime, it's a really good way of getting airline flights, because that enables me to be able to sometimes go to conventions and spend more on the hotel because I don't have to pay for the flight. So it's something to think about. And Southwest is really good. I've had friends who have American Airlines and some of the other ones, but they're just not the same. And Southwest, you don't lose them if you don't use them. They pile up and pile up and pile up. It wasn't always that way, but it has been that way for the last, 10 years or so. So anyway, it's just an idea.
So you have no excuse not to be there next time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because my solar will be paid off by then, and I'll have a few extra pennies to pay for a hotel. But the problem was, I was surprised. I thought it was going to be in September, and then all of a sudden it's March, and it's, you know, and I had foot surgery, so I couldn't have gone anyway. And I was invited to China. I can't go there either because I don't want to get a blood clot on the plane with a 14-hour trip. So I'm going to miss that one. But that's okay. I don't mind staying home. I've been doing it for years, especially with the pandemic, and listening to old-time radio all the time when I'm not doing anything else.
Very good. Yes. Well, we had a nice time. Joy, I saw you on Friday, and I never saw you again the rest of the weekend. So I know you were having a good time talking with people. So I'm glad to hear everyone had a good time.
We just weren't in the same spot at the same time. I have a tendency to sit in the front row at all of these presentations, so I can see and hear things. Because in that building, that's where the best sound is right in front of the stage. And so that's where I sat, and I also didn't see you at all except for that last Saturday.
I wasn't feeling well. I came down with a cold the night I got there, and I spent about half the time listening to presentations in my room, and I would come out and go down there for a little while when I felt better. Then when I would need to retreat back to my room, I would listen on Yesterday USA Blue, and it's like I was there, but I wasn't. When I felt better, I'd go down and participate. I felt pretty good Saturday night, so I went to the banquet and stayed for the whole time. Won a few, what do you call, raffle ticket prizes.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I went to the breakfast Sunday morning and listen to the interview with Carolyn Grimes. That was pretty interesting.
By the time I got to Sunday, I came down with your cold.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully you didn't catch it from me. But you might have, because you gave me a hug on Friday when I wasn't feeling so good. So I hope that wasn't it. But
that's all right. I'm getting better.
Well, we can blame my wife. I think I got it from Kathy. So before I left, because... then I was about a day or two behind her, because when I left, she was like, "Don't kiss me. I got a sore throat." A few days later, I had the sore throat. So,
it takes 7 days. It takes 7 days for a cold to manifest.
Probably.
So,
yep.
Seriously, yep. It does. Because when my daughter coughed in the hallway and I followed her out, 7 days later, I caught the same cold. Because the pistules stay in the air for as long as half an hour. So if you walk through an area where somebody has coughed 7 days later, well, you may not get it if you've got a really strong support, though, immune system. Anyway.
That's why I don't go to too many places anymore, you know, since COVID and stuff. So
Well, hopefully we won't be getting an email from Stephanie telling us that 15% of the people have come down with COVID.
Yeah, I don't think we'll have that happen this year. I haven't heard.
More than likely, they got my cold.
Well, I hope not, Brad.
But I did my best, and anyhow.
Well, I just hope everybody had a good time, and I caught a little of it. You know, last weekend, but it was like, yeah, that's okay, whatever.
Yeah. Well,
Stephanie said that she would share the link to the various shows with us, and I'm looking forward to that because I didn't get all of the Thin Man on Friday morning.
Saturday morning, yeah.
Okay. Well, I got a thing from Walden yesterday. I'll forward it on to you.
Yeah, you can send that to Joy. I sent the whole back set.
Did you send it to Joy?
No, I didn't send that to Joy. Just send it out to
I'll send it to her.
So you'll go and send that to Joy.
I'll send it to her.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
It's a bunch of stuff. I was listening to some of it last night. It was really good.
It was one of the better showcases, Walden. Truly.
Oh, thanks, Joy.
Yes, it was good. I thought all the shows were great.
Well, and Brad Zinn was absolutely wonderful as the role that he played. He played in the reporter.
In Nightbeat.
Frank Lovejoy.
Nightbeat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nightbeat. He was good. Yeah. He was real good.
He was the best one I've ever heard do that role. And he was so pleased when I told him that.
I'm glad.
Joey,
I know it meant a lot for him to play Nicholas in the Cavalcade of America. He was related to that. That was very important to him.
That was great.
You know, and so I'm hoping the Cherry Blossom Festival will take that play someday because I think it's a good play. It's something Tim wanted to do always, to come up with something about the trip to Gettysburg, and I thought that was the best one I could find about what happened. And we were fortunate to get Carl Chattel, who practically lives at the Library of Congress, dig up several scripts for us that we had no recording. So The Thin Man is one of those.
Yeah.
Grand Central Station is another. First Nighter was another. And he's digging more stuff for me now, and also... so I'm trying to add those elements, but you know, sometimes a little tougher because it's so much easier for me to go through recordings to figure out what's a good one. But generally, I need somebody to transcribe the scripts into a good format for me to read them. And so, I'm very pleased how that all turned out. So,
very good.
I've always been fond of the productions that are bringing a lost script back to life.
Right.
Feel good about that.
Yeah. So I went and gave him 8 series, and I went through Jerry Hendrick's logs and I looked for a script that we don't have in recording. So I'll be interested to see what he comes up with for me for that.
Great.
And also I'm looking at, Martin Graham put out a book of the lost scripts of Sam Spade. And these are like the first, I think, 12 episodes of Sam Spade. So, and these are supposed to be really juicy scripts. So I'm having those converted. I can look at those. So, we'll try to add some more things like that for the future.
Right. Very good. And with that, we are at time. We're at the bottom of the hour. So time to listen to... Good evening, Michael. Are you ready to play it?
Yes, sir, I am. Joy, real quick before I start this, two things. I want to tell you, Joy, that I'll send out the teaser for your thing either tonight or tomorrow at the latest for your program for Saturday. And I'm assuming you're going to be there to play your own stuff, correct?
I certainly hope so.
Okay. And then I wanted to give credit where credit is due. I didn't do this on the recording, so I'm going to do this live. Thanks to Daniel because he put the bug in my ear for the presentation tonight. So on that note, let me
Good.
Start screen share and
Mute,
then
me to mute.
go ahead. Go ahead, mute,
All right,
and then
here we go.
I'll
Mike
start
will
it.
play for us. Oh, all righty, we'll see everybody on the other side.
My presentation here.
Hi everybody. Welcome to my presentation here in the Fred Bertelsen All-Time Radio Room for this Thursday. We're going to start things off with Gunsmoke, October 2nd, 1954. Matt gets it.
Gunsmoke. Brought to you by L&M Builders with the miracle tip. King size, regular, both at the same low price. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. A transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
I'm so late, Mr. Dillon.
You know, it's 5 miles to Fort Dodge and 5 miles back, Chester. Figuring the time you were gone, you traveled about 2 miles an hour.
Well, Major Honeyman kept me waiting almost 3 hours, Mr. Dillon.
Well, why didn't you leave the papers with the first sergeant?
You told me to deliver them to the major.
Well, I should have explained, I guess.
Well, that's all right. Me and the first sergeant enjoyed a couple of beers at the Sutler's.
Oh. Well, I trust Major Honeyman didn't mind waiting.
Him? Oh, no, sir. It was me, Mr. Dillon. You see, when I got there...
It's all right. It doesn't matter. It's all right, Chester. It's all right. After all, it's a pretty hot day.
Oh, hot ain't nothing like it. You know, sir, I was wondering all the way back. Do you think maybe someday they'll invent a way to kind of cover up the sun a little?
What? Who's they, Chester?
Well, I don't know. The people that works on stuff like that. Them fellas that goes to school and all. You think they will?
Well, I think any man that went to school very long ought to have more sense than to try to cover up the sun.
Oh, well, I didn't mean all the way up. I meant just part of it.
Oh, well, I can think of one man that's already done that.
Really? Who's that? A
fella called John B. Stetson.
Oh, now, Mr. Dillon, I'm serious.
So am I, Chester.
Marshal Dillon?
Ah, hello.
Jim Hill, Marshal, from Amarillo.
How do you do? This is Chester Proudfoot.
Chester.
Glad to know you.
I'm looking for a man, Marshal. Fella called Dan Grapp. You know him?
No, never heard of him. Have you, Chester?
Ain't no Dan Grapp around here.
Well, he's coming here. Told one of his girls in Amarillo he was. I'll wait for him.
Well, what do you want him for, Hill?
Murder.
Murder?
He shot 3 men in Amarillo. 2 of them in a fair fight, but he made a mistake with the last one. Grad didn't know it, but the man wasn't even armed.
A friend of yours?
No, I didn't know him. Some gambler.
Yeah. Then why are you after Grad?
I thought maybe you'd heard of him, Marshal. I'm sheriff of Amarillo.
Oh, I see. Well, it's been a long time since I've been in Amarillo.
It's no quieter than it ever was. But it'll get worse if I don't stop men like Dan Grad.
no matter how far they run.
You said he didn't know the man wasn't armed. Well, why would he be running?
He found out after he'd shot him. You see, it shamed him killing an unarmed man. One thing about Grad Marshal, he ain't no coward.
But he enjoys shooting people.
He's a gunman. And I'll tell you something, Marshal. Dan Grad ain't well known, but he's about as handy with a gun as anybody in the state of Texas. Men who watched him say he's the fastest they ever saw, bar none.
Well, I'll help you take him, Sheriff.
I only come here to tell you what I was doing in Dodge, Marshal. I don't need no help.
Well, he's just a murderer. Why take a chance?
I'm pretty good myself, Marshal. I ain't afraid of him.
Oh, okay.
And if you run into him first, save him for me. I'd hate to have made the ride up here for nothing. I'm staying at the Dodge House, Marshal, if you want to find me. So long.
So long.
Mr. Dillon, I don't quite make him out.
Oh, why not, Chester?
Well, I mean not wanting you to help him, if it's true what he says about this Dan Grad.
The sheriff's like a lot of men, Chester. He's too proud, too confident in himself. It'll get him in trouble someday.
Yes, sir.
It's a mistake some gunmen make, too.
You mean like Dan Grad?
Oh, I don't care about Dan Grad, Chester. It's Sheriff Hill I'm worried for.
L&M filters are sweeping the country. L&M, the filter tip cigarette everyone's talking about. Everyone's changing to. Here's what Joan Bennett told us. Never before have I found a filter so good, a taste I enjoy so much as in L&M's. And David Wayne says, L&M's have the best filter of them all. Miracle Tip is right. There's nothing like it. Diana Lynn wrote, I had no idea a filter cigarette could taste as good as L&M's. They're light and mild and full of flavor. Yes, L&M filters are truly sweeping the country, breaking more sales records every day. The reason? It's the filter that counts, and no filter compares with L&M's Miracle Tip. Notice how easy it draws. You get much more flavor, much less nicotine. Yes.
This is it, L&M filters. This is it, something new. Now, two sizes, L&M filters. You king size and regular too. This is it, L&M filters. L&M filters with the miracle tip.
So join the trend to L&M. King size, regular. Both at the same low price.
Thanks, Kitty.
Why didn't Chester come over?
Oh, he's waiting at the bar for a friend of his.
Huh? Man or woman?
A man. He owes Chester some money, he said.
Then they won't be friends for long.
That's only $2.
I lost friends for less money than that.
You must have lived among mighty poor people.
Any camp I've been in, most of the citizens went from rich to poor a couple of times every month.
Well, that beats working for a living.
If you believe that, why don't you take up gambling, Matt?
You know, sometimes I think that might be a good idea.
Well, it's safer than what you're doing now.
Out of being safe all I wanted, I'd take up raising hogs and potatoes, Kitty.
That's about what I figured.
They told me at the bar you was Marshal Dillon.
Yeah, that's right.
I just rode into town, Marshal. You're the first man I wanted to see.
Now, what about?
Like this, Marshal. I'm kind of free and easy in my ways. Sometimes people don't understand.
Understand what?
That they shouldn't try to stop me.
Well, nobody's stopping you, stranger. You do whatever you want. Short of breaking the law.
It's the law I'm talking about, Marshal.
All right, say it plain, mister.
Sure. I get in a fight. I kill somebody. I don't want no trouble about it. That plain enough?
Where are you from?
Texas.
Amarillo.
How do you know?
The sheriff, Jim Hill, he's here waiting for you. Grat.
Where is he?
I don't know. He'll probably be in here later. Why don't you wait?
No. I'll find him. After I do, we'll talk some more, Marshal.
Grat!
What?
About breaking the law here. That includes resisting arrest.
You explain it to me later, Marshal.
Chester.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Chester, go find Sheriff Hill and tell him Dan Gratz in town. The least we can do is warn him.
Okay, sir.
Where's your gun, Chester?
My gun? Oh, it must be over at the office. I'll go right over and get it.
You better find the sheriff first, and hurry.
Yes, sir. I'll try the dog pound.
Can't you stop it, Matt?
I can't interfere with another lawman, kidding. I offered to help, but he wouldn't have it.
Why not? You too proud?
Yeah, that's right, Kitty. He's too proud.
You think Grat's gonna kill him?
Well, I think he'll try.
You don't like not being able to do anything about it, do you, Matt?
No, Kitty, I don't.
Matt!
Yeah, you stay in here, Kitty.
Grat found him, Mr. Dillon. Right there in the street. He yelled at him, and then he shot him. As soon as he turned around, got set. Oh, that Grat's the one fastest man I ever saw. I mean, he's just terrible.
Keep
fast.
Out of the way, Chester. He's waiting for me.
Yes, sir.
What's the matter, Marshal? I break one of your laws?
You just killed a man, Gret.
He ain't the first man I've killed.
Jim Hill was a lawman. He was here to arrest you for murdering an unarmed man in Amarillo.
I didn't know he was unarmed.
Your mistake.
I'd have killed him anyway. I can kill anybody. Like you. Right now. See, Marshal, how easy it is?
How is he, Doc?
Well, I can't tell yet, Chester.
Oh, Doc.
He was hit in the head as well as the arm, Chester, and he's still unconscious. We'll know what damage it did when he comes to, and not before. I've done everything I can for him.
Yeah, I know, Doc. Of course you have.
Another fraction of an inch, he'd be dead now. As it is, he may be all right in 10 days. Or, well, who knows? I don't.
Brad hit him first shot. I could tell. Mr. Dillon still got one off. I don't know why I had to miss him.
Of course he missed him, Chester. Matt was out on his feet when he fired that shot.
He dropped his gun before it fell.
And who wouldn't with 2 bullets in his arm?
Is it ruined, Doc? His arm?
No, it's not ruined. It'll be stiff for a while.
Doc?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have tried to kill Grat if I'd have had my gun. I was going to pick up Mr. Dillon's and do it, but Grat kicked it away from me.
It's a good thing he did.
I wanted to kill him.
I know, Chester. I know how you felt.
It's a terrible thing watching a man like Mr. Dillon get shot that way, Doc.
Of course it is, Chester, but killing Grat won't help him now.
Well, if Mr. Dillon dies, I'll kill him. I'll get me a shotgun and I'll kill him. I'll blow him in half, then we'll see how doggone fast he is.
No, calm down, Chester. You mustn't get it. I tell you, you go put some coffee on the stove right over there, yeah? We'll both need it before the night's out.
Okay, Doc. But I sure hate to think of Gratz standing around at some bar bragging how he shot down Mr. Dillon.
Bartender, give me some whiskey.
Coming up.
You're Dan Gratt, huh? I don't know you, mister.
No offense. I heard your name, Gratt. Everybody's talking about you.
What are they saying?
How you shot the marshal and all? You're pretty fast, Gratt.
The man to beat me ain't found a father yet.
How come you didn't kill the marshal?
He's still alive?
They say he is.
Whiskey. What's this, bartender?
Shot of whiskey.
I said I wanted some whiskey.
Well, that's whiskey.
Don't fool with me. Get me the bottle.
This here's Dan Gratt, bartender. Fellow that shot Marshal Dillon tonight.
You didn't say you wanted the bottle.
Get it.
Come on. What's the
matter with him? You friend of the marshal?
Some is, some ain't.
How about you?
Me? I don't care one way or t'other.
Make up your mind.
Well, sure, Gratt. I'm on your side. I wouldn't be talking to you if I wasn't.
I guess I got some more convincing to do around here about who's top dog.
Not me, Gratt. You don't have to convince me.
Then act like it.
Well, sure, sure. I was asking how come you didn't kill the marshal.
He dropped his gun when I hit him in the arm.
Why'd that stop you?
I don't shoot unarmed men.
You don't?
What?
I said, don't you?
You're armed, mister.
Now, Gratt, I ain't done nothing.
I don't like your talk. You know about me, don't you? That gambler should have had a gun in Amarillo.
I don't know what you're saying, Gratt. I don't know nothing about you.
Take out your gun, mister. Go on, take it out.
Well, no, Gratt. No.
Do what I tell you.
But not me. No, I didn't.
Your time's up.
I didn't.
Kitty.
Hello, Doc.
Oh, Matt'll be glad to see you, Kitty.
He's conscious?
Oh, sure, he has been all morning, since about dawn. Of course, he's slept some since then.
Is he going to be all right, Doc?
Kitty?
Uh-oh, there's your answer. Let's go back and see him.
Hello, Matt.
That's nice of you to come by, Kitty.
I was going to make you some soup or something, but I thought I'd see what you wanted first.
A gun. You know, that's been worrying me, Kitty. I was hoping somebody'd come by in time to keep me from being poisoned by Doc's cooking.
Oh, poisoned by Doc's... Oh, you watch what you're saying, Matt. I could decide you're too sick to eat. Yeah, I could. I could keep you starved for weeks.
It wouldn't be worth it to you, Doc. Not with me taking up your bed the whole time.
How long will he be in bed, Doc?
Oh, maybe 10 days.
5 will do it.
I said 10.
I'll make you a bet, Doc.
You ought to rest, Matt. Especially with your arm hurt. You wouldn't dare go out till you can use it again.
I hear Gratt killed another man last night.
Some stranger. They say Gratt slapped him and then shot him down. Just like that.
And he was standing real close to him, huh?
Why? What's that got to do with it?
Now, Gratt's the fastest man I ever saw, Kitty. And that's his weakness.
What do you mean?
It makes him overconfident. He draws and shoots so fast, most men haven't got a chance. Like Sheriff Hill. He didn't even shoot back.
Well, how's that a weakness?
Well, Gratt was lucky with Hill. But with me, a fraction of an inch, and he'd have missed entirely. And if he had, I'd have killed him. No, it's simple, Kitty. He doesn't take time to shoot straight. He doesn't think he has to. And he'll die for that someday.
Matt.
Yeah?
You're not going to face him again.
As soon as I'm able to.
You can't, with that arm.
Gratz is sure of himself. He might not even notice my arm.
What do you mean? He already knows about it.
He does?
What?
You'll see, Kitty. When the time comes.
This is it, L&M filters. This is it, something new.
Now, two sizes.
L&M filters, new king size and regular too.
This is it,
L&M filters. L&M filters with the miracle tip.
L&M filters are sweeping the country, breaking more sales records every day. The reason? It's the filter that counts. And no filter compares with L&M's Miracle Tip for quality or effectiveness. And notice how easy it draws. You get much more flavor, much less nicotine. Effective filtration. Our statement of quality goes unchallenged. L&M is America's highest quality and best filter tip cigarette. Buy L&M King Size. Buy L&M Regular. Buy a carton of L&M's. King size, regular, both at the same low price. L&M, light and mild.
It made Doc awful mad, but 5 days later I got up. And then for the next week, I spent every day down by the river, drawing and shooting. Drawing and shooting for hours on end. Doc told me I'd have a headache and the gunfire didn't help ease it, but I kept on. Grat found a fight and killed another man while I was at it. And I guess that spurred me some. Finally, I'd had enough, and I went into the office one noon where Chester was waiting for me.
I declare, Mr. Dillon, your arm won't never heal if you keep working it so hard.
Oh, my arm's in fine shape, Chester.
I don't see how it could be.
And I'm hoping Grat won't see how it could be either.
I don't understand, Mr. Dillon.
Grat's so sure of himself, I'm gambling he won't notice it.
Notice what?
My gun.
Your gun? Why, you're wearing it in your belt, Mr. Dillon. What'd you do with your holster?
It's hanging on the wall over there, Chester. Where it's been all week.
Well, forevermore. It's easier on your arm drawing it from your belt, that is.
Well, that's part of it, Chester. Have you seen Grat today?
Yes, sir. This morning, over at the Alafraganza, playing Faro.
Yeah. All right, Chester. Go find him, will you?
Yes, sir. But what'll I tell him?
Tell him that I'm going to arrest him about sundown. Let's say 5 o'clock. And I'll start looking for him in the plaza. That way the word will get around and nobody but us will get hurt.
Mr. Dillon, it just gives me the jumps for us to be sitting out here all alone. Ain't hardly 5 o'clock yet, and Dodge already looks like a ghost town. Ain't one person here in the plaza.
I can see a few heads peeking out here and there, Chester.
Vultures, that's what they are, waiting for somebody to die. Sorry, Mr. Dillon, I didn't...
Somebody usually does die in a gunfight, Chester.
It ain't fair. You with a bad arm... Can't you wait a while, Mr. Dillon?
No. Grat's killed too many men already. No, I've waited long enough.
Well, I'll fight him. By golly, I will. I'll fight him.
You would, wouldn't you, Chester?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Uh-oh. There he comes. All right, Chester. Get out of the way now.
No.
You heard me, Chester.
Yes, sir.
That's far enough, Gratt.
I was just going to shake hands with you, Marshal.
What?
Before I kill you. You're a brave man, Marshal. I shot you down once and you're back even before you're well. You're either brave or you're crazy.
Doesn't matter, does it?
No. I'll kill you anyway.
You're pretty sure of that, aren't you, Gret?
Why shouldn't I be? I already know I can outdraw you, even without your arm being bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You can.
Never saw a man wanted to die so much as you do. What's the matter with you, Marshal? Wait a minute. You ain't wearing a gun.
It's stuck in my belt.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll make it even easier, won't it?
Let's find out, Gratz.
You've got him, Mr. Dillon. You got him.
Yeah.
You hit him all three shots. I could see every one of them.
Well, I took more time than he did. And he took plenty. But he was too sure of himself, Chester. And that's what I was counting on.
He drawed first, though.
Yeah, he wasn't in any hurry this time, Chester. He knew I couldn't do much with a bad arm.
Well, he was sure wrong. You killed him with it.
You don't see any better than he did, Chester.
What?
The gun in my belt, Chester. The butt's pointing to the left. Now, it's going to be weeks before I can use my right arm again.
By golly, that's right, yeah. You used your left hand.
It wasn't until I started to draw that he noticed it. And when he did, it gave me an extra second. And it cost him his life.
Now our star, William Conrad.
Thank you. If you're a filter tip smoker, you should be smoking L&M's. Everyone agrees L&M's are just what the doctor ordered. The first filter that really does the job. And a real good taste to go with it. Maybe you'll prefer L&M king size as I do, or L&M regular. But either size, I know you'll like them, and I know you'll stick with them. L&M's. Try them.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Paul Dubov, Harry Bartell, and John Daner. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Hear Gunsmoke every Saturday, this same time, this same station. Hear the great new Perry Como radio show every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, also on CBS Radio.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
That was Gunsmoke, October 2nd, 1954. Matt gets it. We're going to jump ahead 11 months, September 10th, 1955. Gunsmoke, Matt gets it, TV version. And the cool thing about this episode is that John Wayne introduces James Arness.
Good evening. My name's Wayne. Some of you may have seen me before. Hope so. I've been kicking around Hollywood a long time. I've made a lot of pictures out here, all kinds. And some of them have been westerns. And that's what I'm here to tell you about tonight, a western. A new television show called Gunsmoke. No, I'm not in it. I wish I were, though, because I think it's the best thing of its kind that's come along. And I hope you'll agree with me. It's honest, it's adult. It's realistic. When I first heard about the show Gunsmoke, I knew there was only one man to play in it, James Arness. He's a young fella and maybe new to some of you, but I've worked with him and I predict he'll be a big star. So you might as well get used to him like you've had to get used to me. And now I'm proud to present my friend Jim Arness in Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke, starring James Arness as Matt Dillon.
I try to remember that if they'd argued a little, they might not be here. Arguing doesn't fill any graves. Take me, I'm a U.S. Marshal. How many times I'd rather have argued than gone for guns? Take Dodge City over there. Gomorrah of the Plains, they call it. Jump-off spot. People coming and going all the time, good, bad, and worse. Tempers high. A man will draw his gun quicker to prove a point than he'll draw on his logic. That's where I come in, whether they like it or not. When they draw their gun, somebody's got to be around. Somebody on the law side. Now, Lord knows they hate that.
Hard, Bert.
You won't like what I come to tell you.
Want a drink?
He died, Dan. Lay there and bled to death.
A man deals crooked cards to me, don't matter how hard he dies. Gave him a chance to draw.
That's not it. What you're not gonna like is...
What?
He wasn't armed, Dan.
Welcome back. After all the time you shouldn't have taken.
Well, I'm sorry I'm so kind of late.
It's 5 miles to Fort Dodge and 5 miles back. I figure in the time you were gone, you must travel about 2 miles an hour.
Well, Major Holcomb kept me waiting for close to 3 hours.
Why didn't you leave the wanted posters with the first sergeant?
Well, you told me to leave them with the major.
I should have explained.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Dillon. Me and the first sergeant spent close to 3 hours enjoying a couple of beers at the Sutler's.
Oh, I trust when it came to it, the major didn't mind waiting?
Yeah. No, it was me that was waiting, Mr. Dillon. Me and the first sergeant. You see, when I got there...
Never mind, Chester. It doesn't matter. After all, it's been a pretty hot day.
Oh, hot. That ain't the word for it. Coming back from Fort Dodge, my horse's neck was...
Marshal Dillon?
Here.
Jim Hill, Marshal, from Amarillo.
How do you do? This is Chester Good. Pull up a chair. What can I do for you?
I'm looking for a man, Marshal. A fellow called Dan Gratt. You know him?
No.
Well, he's coming here. He told one of his girls in Amarillo he was. I'll wait for him.
You're waiting for any special reason?
Kind of special. Murder.
Murder?
This man's about as ruthless a killer as there is. I don't know how many killings he's done outside of Texas, but he shot 3 men in Amarillo. 2 of them in a fair fight. But he made a mistake on the last one. You see, Gratt didn't know it at the time, but the man wasn't even armed.
Was the murdered man a friend of yours?
No, I didn't know him. Some gambler.
Why are you taking it on yourself to chase this Gratt?
I thought maybe you'd heard of me, Marshal. I'm sheriff of Amarillo.
Oh. Well, it's been some time since I was in Amarillo. They say this Gratt didn't know the man wasn't armed. What's he running for, then?
Well, he found out after he'd shot him.
It's a fine time.
They say it shamed him, shooting an unarmed man. There's one thing about Gratt, Marshal. He's no coward. He's not one small part of a coward.
He just likes to go after a man and gun him down.
Let me tell you something, Marshal. Dan Gratt's not very well known. But he's about as handy with a gun as anybody in the state of Texas. Men that have seen him say he's the fastest they ever saw. Bar none.
That'll make you pretty good if you can outplay him then, won't it, Sheriff?
That's not the point,
isn't it? I'll help you take him, Sheriff.
No, you won't. I only came here to tell you what I was doing in Dodge, Marshal. I don't need your help.
Why take a chance?
I'm pretty good myself. I'm not afraid of him.
All right.
And if you run into him first, save him for me. I'd hate to have made the ride up here for nothing.
Quite make him out, Mr. Dillon.
Well, Sheriff Hill's like a lot of people, Chester. He's too proud. Too confident in himself. It'll get him into a lot of trouble someday. Maybe sooner than that.
Sure, I'll buy another. On you.
You want to pay me for these beers now or later?
Now.
What do you want, Matt? Do you know?
Well, maybe fishing. I like the fish more than I do.
About what I figured. At least you could take me along once in a while.
Well, I did take you.
Sure. 2 or 3 months ago. I like fishing, Matt.
Next time I get a day off, we'll fish.
Good. That'll give me plenty of time to get ready.
Say, tell me what the bar that you're Marshal Dillon.
That's right.
Well, I just rode into town, Marshal. You're the first man I want to see.
Any particular reason?
It's like this. I'm kind of free and easy in my ways, and sometimes people just don't understand.
Don't understand what?
That they shouldn't try to stop me.
Nobody trying to stop you, mister. You can do anything you want, short of breaking the law.
What's the law I'm talking about, Marshal?
Well, then say it plain, stranger.
Sure. I get into a fight. And I kill somebody. I don't want no trouble about it. Is that plain now?
Where are you from?
Texas.
Amarillo?
How'd you know?
The sheriff, Jim Hill. He's here waiting for you, Gret.
Where is he?
Well, he'll probably be in here after a while. Why don't you wait for him?
No, I'll find him myself, and then after I do, we'll talk some more, Marshal.
Gret.
What is it, Marshal?
About breaking the law here. That includes resisting arrest.
Oh, yeah, well, you explain that to me later, but over a drink, for your sake. You see, I'm kind of ever so good with a gun, and I'm sure Sheriff Hill must have mentioned it to you.
Friend of yours, Mr. Dillon?
It was Dan Gret.
I don't think I ever heard you mention. It was?
Go find Sheriff Hill and tell him Gratz in town. Try the Dodge House and hurry.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do about it, Matt?
I've been asked out of it. There's not much I can do. Not yet.
He's a killer, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I guess I better sit down and finish that beer with you.
You don't like not being able to do anything about it, do you?
Outside, Mr. Dillon. Gret found the sheriff. They're down the street.
Stay here. All of you.
Matt, it's not your worry.
Stay inside.
I keep telling you, Sheriff. If you want me, you come take me.
I'm taking you, Gret.
You have to walk right up to me. Not coming to you.
Mr. Dillon?
It's the sheriff's play, Chester.
Oh, closer than that, Sheriff. A lot closer. If you want me.
I'm coming right up to you. Either you turn around and throw down your gun, or I'm coming right up to you.
You come up, Sheriff. You reckon now, Sheriff?
I reckon now.
Telling you. Keep telling everybody.
No, Mr. Dillon. He's faster than you even. Don't do it.
Been expecting you. Come closer if you want to talk to me, Marshal.
I warned you about resisting arrest.
You drew first. He ain't the second or third man I've killed or drew first.
Jim Hill was a lawman.
He was here to arrest you for murdering an unarmed man in Amarillo.
I didn't know that man was unarmed.
Your mistake.
I'd have killed him even if he had a gun on me. I can kill anybody. Like you. Right now! Now you see, Marshal? See how easy it is.
Can't hurt. Probably won't help, but it can't hurt.
How is he now, Doc?
Well, how can I tell? I can't tell yet, Chester.
Can you tell me?
Kitty, if I could tell you, I could tell me.
I see.
Doc, can't you do something?
Something? Chester,
I mean something better than what you've been doing.
He was hit in the chest and creased along the forehead. Now, we'll know what damage it did when he comes to, and not before. I'm doing everything I can for him.
I know, but couldn't you do just a little bit more?
Another fraction of an inch and he'd be dead. Now, as it is, he may be all right in 10 days or... Well, who knows? I don't.
You want us out of here, don't you, Doc?
Thank you, Kitty. Thank you.
Come on, Chester.
Doc?
Yes. Yes, yes!
I wanted to kill Grant. I still do.
Now, that wouldn't help a thing.
It's a terrible thing to see a man like Mr. Dillon get shot that way.
I'll buy you a drink, Chester.
If Mr. Dillon dies, I'll get me a shotgun. I'll kill Grant. I'll blow him in half. Then we'll see how fast he is.
Chester, will you get a... Kitty, take him out of here.
Come on, Chester.
I'll go. I just hate to think of Grant standing at some bar bragging how he shot down a U.S. Marshal.
Well, come in.
How is he, Doc?
Fine. Nice of you to stop by.
There's your answer.
Well, I was going to make you some soup or something, but I thought I'd come by and see what you wanted first.
I was hoping somebody'd come by and save me from Doc's cooking.
Doc's cooking's kept you alive for more than a week. Killing me, but it kept him alive.
He's beginning to look human. How much longer will he be in bed?
Oh, about 5 days.
Tomorrow will do it.
Keep resting, Matt. You shouldn't dare go out until Doc says.
I hear Grant killed Frank Scarth.
Yes, he slapped him and then shot him down like that.
Slapped him? Grant was that close to him?
As close as I am to you.
But not Herd, boss. The one who came to town to see if his outfit should stay here.
Same thing. He walked up to him, pushed him in the chest to make him draw, and then killed him when he did.
Kitty, get out of here. Go away.
Why?
I gotta get up. I gotta start walking around.
No, just you wait a minute.
Matt, you're not thinking of facing Dan Gratt again.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll handle him. You're not going anywhere.
Matt, I never thought I'd have to say this to you. But you're a dead man if you try him again. He's faster than you.
Well, you heard what she said. And she's right.
You just get me walking, Doc. That's all I ask.
Where? Up the street so he can see you?
I want to walk a mile a day, two tomorrow, and three the next day. By the end of a week, I'll be off your hands. Either you walk with me or you don't.
All right. Somebody's got to walk with you. It might as well be me.
Thank you.
Where's your gun, Marshal? Leave it at home, or you're just remembering that I don't shoot unarmed men? I hope you get well real soon, Marshal. You and me, we shouldn't have no more trouble.
I don't want anything except to be left alone to do whatever I feel like doing.
Stronger now than you were a week ago, but you're still not ready to go out and...
Chester will be back by this time.
You were no match for Dan Gratt when you were completely well.
I figure things will even up this time.
After the autopsy. It's all pride with you, isn't it? Just pride. Somebody came into town who's faster than you are, and you just gotta try to prove he isn't. Only you're not gonna prove it, because he is.
Now, wait a minute, Doc.
I won't wait a minute. You're going down there and get yourself killed. And just because of your pride.
He's a gunman, Doc. He has to be eliminated.
All right. All right, go on. Just go on down there and meet him. He blasted you last time, and you were lucky. You lived. This time, he'll do it.
Clerk over at the Dodge House said Dan Grant's still in his room. Mr. Dillon, can I just sort of follow?
I'll see you later. Dillon, I've got a gun on. I've come for you, Gratt.
I'm here, Marshal. Coming down to talk to you.
Just stay there. That's right. Now turn around and drop your gun belt, and then come down.
Marshal, there's no reason why I can't come down there and talk things over with you.
I told you to stay right there.
I told you I like to be left alone.
I said stop and turn around and drop your gun belt, and then come down. I gotta hand it to you, Gratt. You're the fastest I've ever seen. But you gotta be close. So close you can't miss. You don't take time to aim and shoot straight.
Well, you're wrong. You know it. All right, Marshal. I give up.
I told you.
Now, Marshal, wouldn't shoot a man with his hands up, would you? Just come down to surrender.
That's close enough.
Oh, Marshal. I'm giving myself up.
You take one more step and I draw.
No matter. I'm close enough now.
You don't know whether you are or not. I say you're not.
Well, I say I am.
Gunsmoke, Matt Gets It, September 10th, 1955. This is about going to wrap it up for my presentation here on the Fred Bertelsen Alzheimer's Room for this Thursday. Hope you guys have enjoyed this presentation as much as I've enjoyed presenting it for you. Before I turn the mic over back over to you all for your comments, let me remind you all about our upcoming marathon to be held on the Zoom platform May 4th. 9 to 9 Pacific, noon to midnight Eastern. Until Joy says that it's my turn to come up to this microphone again, you guys have yourselves a good night, a good weekend. Bye for now.